Romans chapter 14, beginning with verse number 13. You follow along as I read down to the end of the chapter, beginning with verse number 13. Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat or thy food, now walkest thou not charitably or in love. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is the man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned or condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Some very important truths in this passage. As you remember, those of you who were last week, we looked at the first half of the chapter, and it was talking about soul liberty. And let me just briefly, for those who weren't here last week, just to remind you what the soul liberty was. We learned it that God gives us, who know Christ as our Savior, the privilege of choosing what we believe is right to do. And there are some things that are crystal clear in the Bible, and those aren't part of soul liberty. If God says, thou shalt not, then thou shalt not. And if he says, thou shalt, then thou shalt. There's no questions about those things, but there's a lot of things that God doesn't touch in the Bible. And so for those areas where the Bible is silent, God gives us what we call soul liberty, the ability to choose what you believe is right in your own heart in those areas. And we said that one of the best passages to use to help us with soul liberty and discerning what is right and what is wrong is 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, where it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. So God tells us there that we need to prove all things, test everything we do, test our activities, test our reading, test our things that we watch, test the things that we listen to, test the places we go, test everything in life to determine, does this please God? Is it okay with God? The Bible may be silent on the particular matter, but in the scriptures we can find principles that will help us to know, is this what pleases God or is it what does not please God? And in your heart, if you search the scripture, if you've done your homework and said, I find nothing in the scriptures that says that this particular activity would not please God, as far as I can tell in my heart it pleases God, then I'm going to go ahead and be able to do that. That's soul liberty. But now today, in the last part of this chapter, He tells us we need to adjust our soul liberty. We need to adjust our soul liberty. And by that, I mean that there needs to be some adjustments made in order to accommodate the feelings of others. For example, let me just illustrate with this. You're driving down the road, you're driving down on your side of the road, and you've got the right of way, and all is going fine, and all of a sudden you see a child riding his bicycle toward you in your lane. Now you've got two options. You could run over him, or you could yield and go around him. Now, you've got the right of way. He's in the wrong. But the right thing to do is to go around him, not to run him over. All right? And it's the same kind of thing in the Christian life. You may have soul liberty to be, so to speak, driving down this side of the road. That's my soul liberty. I've got the right to do what I'm doing here. I've checked it out. I've studied it out in the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible that tells me it's wrong. God's given me peace about it. I've got soul liberty to do this. But somebody else says, I don't think that's good. And you hurt my feelings when you do that. And he says we need to adjust our soul liberty so that we don't hurt the other person. And so that's what we're looking at here this morning. As we look at the subject of adjusting our soul liberty, I find five imperatives God gives us in this passage we're going to look at. Five specific commands where God commands us to do things. The first one is that we must not put an obstacle in our brother's way. Look at verse number 13 once again. He says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Now, God forbids us to do anything that will trip somebody else. God doesn't want us to trip others. Now, he uses two illustrations here, a stumbling block and an occasion to fall. Now, the word stumbling block there literally means something put in the path that somebody's going to trip over. All right? And it's an obstacle in the path. You know, it's like when you, just before you go to bed, the worst thing to do is to set something in the walkway thinking, well, it'll be there for me in the morning, and then in the night you forget it's there and you had to go up to get a drink or something and you trip over in the middle of the night. That's an obstacle. All right? And God says that our soul liberty must not be a stumbling block, something in the path that is going to cause somebody else to trip. He also says that it is not to be an occasion to fall. The little word that is used here that is translated occasion to fall, it actually refers to a snare. I don't know if you've ever been around a snare. A snare is a trap made often by bending a little sapling over and hooking a wire to it with a loop on it of some sort or a rope on it of some sort to catch an animal that comes along. And there's usually a little stick that they trip over. And when they trip over that little stick, it sends it off. It flies up, grabs them, catches them. That's the word he uses here. So he says here that we are not to put a stumbling block, something in the path they're going to trip over, or something that's going to catch them. Something that's going to catch them in our brother's way. So our soul liberty is not to do that. Now, in context, the obstacle here is our soul liberty. So I've got the right to do this. I've got the right to drive down this side of the road. Kid, get out of the way or I'll run you over. No, we've got the right, yes, but God said our soul liberty ought to be adjusted so that we don't hurt somebody else. Even though we're fine in doing it, even though that we may be convinced that there's nothing wrong with it, we need to adjust it so that we are not going to hurt someone else. And he tells us that we are to do this in verse number 13. It says we're to make those adjustments so that we don't become a stumbling block or an obstacle in the path of somebody else. And so if we know that something we are doing is going to hurt somebody else, we need to make an adjustment. Let's go back to the Jewish example here. Paul was writing to the Roman Christians in Rome, but there were some Jews in Rome as well. And from the context, we can sense here that a lot of the obstacles here, the problems here, was over the soul liberty to eat meats that the Bible forbid for the Jews. Alright, so the Bible said, told the Jews, there's a whole bunch of stuff. You can read it in the Old Testament. They were not to eat pork for one thing. That's one of the big things that stands out, obviously. They were not to eat any skin fish. They were only to eat fish that had scales and fins. So that meant no crabs and no, lobsters and no, crayfish and none of the, no prawns. And you couldn't eat any of that kind of stuff. You couldn't eat rabbit because it didn't have a cloven foot. And so there's a lot of things that they weren't supposed to eat. And so the Jews, all through their lives, down through the centuries, have been trained. You don't eat pork. You don't eat pork. That's dirty. We don't eat pork. And so now, in the Christians' lives, especially among the Romans, they weren't Jews, so it was fine for them to eat pork. They didn't have any problem with that. And God had also and told the Christians, now, Christ fulfilled the law. It's okay to eat the pork now. Because that was a ceremonial law for the Jews. It's fulfilled now. That's not an issue now. But, so the Roman Christian, you're a Roman Christian, and you're going to invite all your Jewish buddies at church to come over for a pig roast. That's not going to go over too good. He says, you've got the liberty to eat your pig roast, but that's not going to be wise to invite all your Jewish friends, because that's going to offend them. Don't do that. He said, but I got liberty. I got a right to do that. Well, maybe. But to do it is going to hurt them. It's going to trip them. It's going to cause them to get caught in a trap. And he says that's not what we're supposed to do. So that's where he's at here, what he's talking about here in verses 13 and 14. And then down in verse number 15, we find another command where he says that we must not destroy our brother over food. Verse number 15 says, but if thy brother be grieved at thy meat, with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. All right, the word charitably, there's the word love. He says you're not showing love to your brother. If he's going to be hurt by and grieved by your meat, you've invited him to the pig roast, and he's not, you know very well he doesn't eat pork, and you've invited him to that, and now he feels grieved and hurt to think that you would do that, and you're going to eat this pork in front of him, and he thinks it's bad, even though God said now that it's okay, but he still hasn't, he can't get over that. It's something that he grew up with, and so it hurts him. And God says, don't hurt your brother. Don't hurt your brother over that. He says, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. He says, Jesus Christ died for him. Don't destroy him over that. That's not worth making an enemy over. It's not worth hurting him over that, because he's your brother in Christ. Now, when he talks here about the unclean, let me see, where is it? What verse is it? Verse 14, he mentions that which is unclean. At the end of the verse, he says, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, it is unclean to him. All right? So the unclean here refers to those foods that were ceremonially wrong for the Jews. So the Jew looks at that pork or that skin fish or that, you know, crab or whatever and says, unclean. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not having rabbit stew for lunch. No way, man. I've always stayed away from that. I'm not going to do that. I know Jesus said it was okay, but I still can't get over that. I'm not going to eat that. So, to him it's unclean. Alright? Now God said it was okay, but in his heart he says, I just can't. I don't think that's right. And so, he says, don't destroy him over what he believes in his heart. Now over in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16, God told us there that these things were finished with Christ. Colossians 2:16 says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days. He says those things were of the past. They were of the Jews. And those things are not something that Christians are bound to. Christians are not bound to the Sabbaths or the new moons or the holidays of the Jews or the things that they could eat and couldn't eat or couldn't drink and couldn't drink. That wasn't part of Christianity, it was part of Judaism. So he says that doesn't apply. But he said there still may be some who feel strongly that it's just not right. He says, if that's the case, don't hurt them by your soul liberty. Go around them. Don't hurt them over this. Now, it is wrong to destroy a brother over food. God tells us that. It's not right to hurt him over the issue of food. So don't do that. If a brother, you know that they won't eat that, then don't grieve him by doing it in front of him. Don't grieve him by inviting him to the pork roast. Don't do that. And it talks about destroying him. The word destroy there that is used here, there's two different words in our text that talk about destroy. This one here talks about shattering his faith. It's the idea of, you know, you're gonna shatter his faith because he believes that it's really not right to do this. And you're saying, come on, go ahead. Come on, you can eat it. Come on, just one bite. It won't hurt you. Come on, don't be a baby about it. Eat this stuff. No, it hurts me. I don't think it's right. And so he says, don't shatter his faith by insisting that he eat pork with you. Because he's another brother that Christ died for. Keep that in mind. Remember, he's your brother in Christ. And so don't hurt him over that. Show him love. Walk in love toward him. And be kind to him. Don't be hurtful to him in this way. Then in verse number 16, we find another command. He says, we must not let our good be evil spoken of. All right, so he says there in verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. What's he mean by this? Well, our soul liberty is good. All right, we talked about that last week. There's nothing wrong with soul liberty. As long as we have been careful at proving our soul liberty. Now, we talked a lot about that last week, and I'm not going to make a lot of talk on that, but it is important we understand. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from that which is appears to be evil. All right, so we're to hold on only the things that are good. So if we've done that, we've done our homework, we've made sure, we've prayed about it, we have peace with God, I've checked the scriptures, God, there's nothing I can find that says that there's anything wrong with this particular activity, and I've got peace in my heart that it's okay, then he says, your soul liberty is good. That's fine. Go ahead. That's fine. But God is saying here that it can be bad if we are using it in a way that is going to hurt somebody else. So he says, let not your good be evil spoken of. All right, so you have the right to have a pork roast if you so desire. There's nothing wrong with that. He says, that's good. But If you invite your Jewish friend over and he takes offense, and you knew he was a Jewish, you knew that. You could have had lamb, you could have had something else, but you chose pork just to kind of rib him a little bit or whatever. He says, that's not right. You're hurting him, and your good now is evil spoken of. It's going to be evil spoken of because of what you did. And when it talks about this evil spoken of, it becomes wrong for us to do what is right when we know that it's going to hurt somebody else. Even though you say, but I've got right. I've got soul liberty. You know, there's a lot of people today that they just want to just say, I've got the right to do that. Don't you tell me I can't do that, you legalist. I've got the right. Well, that's not the attitude he had here. What was his attitude here? He says, you may have the right to do something that is right, but if it hurts somebody else, you don't have the right to do it because the right thing to do is to show them kindness and love and don't offend them. If you know that it's going to hurt them, so stay away from it. Avoid it. Stay away from that and don't invite them to the pork roast to just give them a hard time. And we see here that he talks about the kingdom of God. Look at verse number 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, when he talks about the kingdom of God is one of those terms that is used in a lot of different contexts in a lot of different ways, and it confuses a lot of people. What is the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. He spoke about the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes he kind of used them interchangeably, but they're not identically the same. But the kingdom of God is referring to Christ reigning, that period of time right now when Christ reigns in the hearts of believers. He is reigning in the hearts of believers as the king. And if you know Christ as your Savior, He is your king. And He wants to be the king of your heart and king of your life. And that is to which He is referring to. He says the kingdom of God, that time right now where Christ reigns in us, is a time of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we ought not to be making it a time of conflict and frustration and grief because we're hurting each other over our soul liberties. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. Make it a time of joy. Make it a time of peace. Make it a time of edifying each other. And he'll talk about that in a moment here. He mentions edifying. But there's to be peace and joy and righteousness. We're to do the right thing, the righteousness. And we're to maintain peace and to have joy that the Holy Spirit can give us. And we do this so that we can serve God in a way that honors Him. Look at verse 18. He says, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. All right, so he says, if you do it right and we have the right attitude and the right approach to things and are not trying to hurt people or not, if you know it hurts somebody, you'll stop doing it. He says, that serves God in an acceptable way and it also is approved of men. In other words, your Jewish friend is not going to take offense if you do it in the right way and are kind about it and you say, oh, I'm not going to invite him to the pork roast because I know that offends him. But when I have him over to my house for a meal, we'll have lamb or we'll have something else. But we're not going to have pork because I know that it would offend him. And so we work to try to maintain peace and joy and happiness. In verse number 19, he says, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. The word edify. Remember what that means? It means to build up, to strengthen somebody. He says we ought to be working to strengthen other people, not tearing them down. You know, sometimes we have the attitude that's not right, and we say, well, I got the right, and if he doesn't like it, too bad. Well, that's not what he said here. He says, yes, I've got the right if I've proved it and I've made sure that it didn't please God. Now, see, our soul liberty doesn't include things that are wrong. All right, if God said thou shalt not, or even in principle, if God said we shouldn't do something, then that's not soul liberty. Well, we don't have the right to do wrong. We got the right to do right. So we've evaluated it, and we've gone through it, and we've prayed about it, and we've got peace about it. He says, that's good. You've got peace about it. It's fine. You can do that. As long as you've got peace about it, go ahead. But if it offends somebody else, you don't have the right to do it. You need to be careful. You need to adjust your soul liberty. And you say, but, you know, that's not fair. Wait a minute. God's not talking about fair. He's talking about hurting other people. He says, don't hurt somebody else just because you got the right to do something. I got the right to drive down this side of the road. Kid, get out of the way. I'll run you over. All right? Well, yeah, you do have the right to drive down that side of the road. But if the kid's on the wrong side of the road, give him liberty. Move around. and adjust your soul liberty, so to speak, to be able to do what is right. And he tells us on and down in verse number 21, he says, "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." So he tells us here that even in, you know, the eating of the pork and the rabbit or the prawns, he says there's nothing wrong with that, but if it's going to offend somebody, don't do it. And he keeps giving us different illustrations of this and kind of hits it several different times from this, from different angles here to help us understand it. That if we must not consume anything that will cause someone to stumble, be offended, or be spiritually made weak. That's not what God wants. And so life in the Christian life is not about, I've got my rights, so I can do it if I want to. No, that's not the attitude we're to have. We're to have the attitude that I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt my brother in Christ and cause him to stumble. I don't want that. I don't want to do that. And so we need to be careful about that. Now, that brings us to verse number 22. And 22 and 23 are two verses that are complicated on the surface, but very helpful when we understand what he's talking about. So I'm going to slow it down to a more of a turtle pace, and we're going to work our way through these next two verses here a little bit slower. Look at verse number 22. It says there, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing that he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now, let's pull this apart and look at what he's saying. We are to keep offensive soul liberty private. All right? If you know there's a brother in the church that's a Jew and he won't eat pork, then when you have your pork, you eat when you're at home by yourself. And don't tell anybody, you know, don't invite him over, don't tell him about it, but just eat it privately. Eat it privately. And he's saying the goal is not to hurt him or to offend him in any way. It is to help him to build him up. Remember, all right, it's okay to enjoy your soul liberty privately. However, you must, and I put in my notes, I've got it circled and I've got it in bright colors. You must have faith that God has, that the activity is truly pleasing to God. All right, that goes back to our soul liberty again. Anybody getting warm? You all happy? It's kind of hot up this end. Anyway, all right, we'll leave it as it is. If anybody starts getting warm, we'll turn the air back on. He's telling us here that it's okay to enjoy our liberty, but we must make sure that it truly is our soul liberty. And I emphasize this, and you'll see why in a moment. It's very important that you take the time in every situation in life, when there's a questionable issue that comes up, that you don't just say, well, I don't care what anybody thinks, I like this and I'm going to do it. No, that's not soul liberty. Soul liberty is making sure that it pleases God. I have done my homework. I have researched it. I have made sure that it really, truly pleases God. As far as I can tell, it pleases God, and therefore I have the right to do it. And so we must go back to that verse again. And I would strongly, strongly, strongly encourage you to memorize those two short little verses in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Three short little statements in two verses. Very, very important. So everything we do, we need to go back and evaluate that. Because he's telling us here, we've got a problem if we don't do that. He says that, notice what he said in verse 21 again. He says, hast thou faith? In other words, he says, I have faith that, you know, here's the person who says, I have faith that this is okay. I really believe in my heart that I'm doing right. I've got soul liberty. I've gone over it. I've studied it over. I've researched the scripture. I don't find anything in principle or command that says I shouldn't do this. As far as I can tell, it's not going to hurt my testimony. It's not going to dishonor God. It's pleasing to the Lord. I see nothing wrong with it. And therefore, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And so I've done my homework on it. I've researched it. And then notice he says, happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing that he alloweth. He says, if we have not done our homework and made sure that we're going to condemn ourselves by going ahead and doing it. And in the same context, if we know that what was perfectly fine that we've approved with God hurts a brother, then we better not do it. Because if we do it anyway, whether we know it is wrong or whether we know it hurts another brother, and we do it anyway, he says, you condemn yourself. You condemn yourself. And we have probably all done that before. Probably many times. We've condemned ourselves by doing something that maybe wasn't quite right. You know, this after I started preparing this earlier this week, I don't even remember what it was, but something came up, and there was a slight temptation. I think there was something that came in the letterbox. And I was walking in the house, and I glanced down at it. And my first look at it, I thought, well, there's probably nothing wrong with this, but maybe there is. And I was going to open it up, and then the Lord said, wait a minute, what did you just study? And I thought, okay, I'm not sure, I'm not going to open it up. I'll let my wife take care of it. Because there's so much garbage that comes in the mail. You open it up, and there's, you know, what was that? You know, and that, it caught my attention just like that. Everything we've got to prove before we do it, before we look at something, before we listen to something, before we say something, before we watch something, before we go someplace, we need to prove every single thing we do to make sure that it is pleasing to God and doesn't offend God in any way, and it will not trip somebody else. And we need to be very careful about that. You know, we could say, for example, I have never had the slightest temptation to drink alcohol. I grew up in a home where alcohol was not around at all. We had none. My parents didn't drink. My family didn't drink. My relatives didn't drink. There was nothing around. So I've never been around it and never been tempted by it. It stinks to me. I'm not interested in the slightest. But if I said, well, I'm thirsty, I need a drink of water, I think I'll go into the tavern and ask for a glass of water. Now, that would not be a very wise thing for me to do. Their water may be just as good as any other water in town, but that's not a very wise thing to do. Because I walk into the tavern to get a glass of water, and somebody sees me. You know, one of my neighbors or one of you folks see me, and they say, oh, that's one in the tavern. Well, they all say, oh, he's just going in to get a drink of water. Yeah, that's what everybody else does when they go to the tavern, isn't it? They go to get a drink of water. No, that's going to be a bad testimony. Because nobody else knows but me that I'm going there to get a drink of water. So that's not a wise thing to do. Not a wise thing at all. Even though it's not going to bother me, I'll get out of there as fast as I can because the place stinks because I can't stand the smell of that stuff. All right? But, so it's not going to bother me, but it's going to bother somebody that sees me. And they're going to say, I didn't think he went in there. All right? And so I can't do that because I'll condemn myself. God says if I do something I know may offend somebody else, or if I do something I know might not be right, I condemn myself. God says I am guilty before Him. I'm going to stand before God and answer for that because I did something I wasn't sure was right, or I did something that I knew would offend somebody else. Now sometimes we do that without knowing it. There may be something you do that you've got the liberty to do, and it hurts somebody else, and you didn't even know about it. But if they come to you and say, brother or sister, you did this, and that hurt me, then what do we need to do? We need to be very careful. We need to apologize, and we need to be very careful that we don't do that in front of them again to hurt them, even though we may have the liberty to do that. We need to be very careful not to hurt them. Now, as we look at verse number 23 is a verse that has probably shattered a lot of people's thoughts. It says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, the word damned there is a much stronger English translation than the word means. All right? The word literally means to be condemned. It means to be condemned. And so he's not saying, if you eat of that meat, you're going to go to hell because you ate of that meat. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, if you did something without having perfect peace in your heart, you lost your salvation, you're going to spend eternity in hell because you did that. All right? So it's not that, that's not what the word damned means there. It means you're condemned, you're guilty before God. You are guilty before God. If you do something you know you shouldn't have done, or you are not sure you should have done, you didn't do your homework on it, and you did it anyway. Doing questionable activities will condemn us. Now, he talks about he that doubteth. The word doubteth means to hesitate or to waver. The doubt. I'm not sure. You think, well, I think it's okay, but you've never done your homework on it. You never went to the scripture and researched it. You never prayed about it. You never saw God's will on it. You never asked counsel of other people. You just say, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, so I think I'm going to do it. But I guess I'm not positive, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it, so I'll do it until once I, you know, we kind of take the attitude many times, until I find out it's wrong, I'm going to keep doing it. Well, that's not the attitude God wants. God says, if you're not sure it's right, don't do it. That's God's way of looking at it. If you're not positive it's right, don't do it. And so he said, if we are in doubt, if we're wondering, if we're hesitating, if we're saying, well, I'm just not sure. I think, well, maybe not. I don't know. And I'm wondering. He said, don't do it until you're positive that God gives you peace about it. Last week we talked about the illustration of the Christmas tree. All right, there's nothing in the Bible that talks about Christmas trees. And I told you that my wife and I, many years ago, we chose to not have a Christmas tree because it has nothing to do with Christmas. It has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. And that's, I've got the sole liberty to make that choice. All right? And if you study it out, and you research it out, and you pray about it, and you look in the scripture and say, well, I don't see that. I don't see that there's anything wrong with it, and so I'm going to go ahead and do it. Well, you've got the sole liberty to do that. And I'm not going to be offended if I come to your house and you've got a Christmas tree. I might think, oh, pagans, what do they get this for? No, I'm not going to do that. You've got the sole liberty to do that if you've researched it out. But what often happens is we don't even give it a thought. We just say, everybody else does, so I can too. Wait a minute, that's not right. Until you've done your homework, until you've researched it out, until you've prayed about it and sought God's will and searched the scriptures, you don't have the right to do something that's questionable. So what he's telling us here is we need to search the scriptures and make sure that we have peace with God and that there's nothing wrong with this activity that I'm going to participate in. Then I've got the right to do that as long as it's not going to cause somebody else to stumble. All right? And I'm not suggesting that if you have a Christmas tree, it's going to cause me to stumble. I'm not suggesting that at all. But it's just one of those things we've got to deal with in our hearts. I just give you that as an example to show you there's lots of things out there in life that are issues that deal with these things that we must deal with. Now he says, he that doubteth is condemned. You're guilty before God if you do it anyway. So what God's saying is, when he goes on, he says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's a pretty powerful statement. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What is he talking about, faith? Well, he's saying here that we must truly believe or have faith that we are of what we're about to do pleases God and passes God's proven test in every way. I have faith in that. And God said, if you do it and you don't have faith, that is right. Now, faith, we're not talking about just, I think it's okay. No, that's not faith. What he's talking about in the context is I believe that it is not displeasing to God. I believe that it doesn't offend any of the scriptures. I believe that there's nothing in the Bible that's contrary to this. I believe that it's not going to hurt anybody else. I've researched it. I've done my homework. And I have liberty to do that. And I think that's, as far as I know, it's fine. I don't have any doubts in my mind. And he says, okay, fine. That's good. But once our choice must be based on confident faith that it is right. And if you're not sure of this and do it anyway, you commit sin. If you're not sure and you do it anyway, you commit sin. You say, well, Pastor, how can that be sin if I wasn't even doing anything wrong? No, what it is, you got to use your, we got to think a little deeper right now for a moment. God's saying here, this thing's okay. But if you're not sure it's okay, and you do it anyway, what you're doing is you're saying, well, I think it's okay, but I'm not positive, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. God says, if you do, that's sin. Because you weren't positive, and you made a choice to do something that might disobey God, and you chose to possibly disobey God. He says, that's sin. We cannot do that. So God's telling us here, we must. That's why I've emphasized it, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22 so strongly. You must prove all things. Make sure you hold fast the things that are good and push away the things that are evil. Because if you go ahead and do it anyway and you're not positive and you doubt in your mind, say, well, I'm not really sure. I might be wrong, might be okay. And you do it anyway, God says that's sin because you didn't do it by faith. And so we need to be very, very careful in this area of our life. God does not want us to choose the questionable, but the clear. Another way we could say it is, if in doubt, don't. Or as my mom used to say, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. And I said, Mom, I don't know whether this shirt's dirty or not. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. All right? And it's the same thing in the Christian life. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. Don't do it. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. And if you keep that in mind, that's really what this verse 23 is talking about. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. Don't do it. So if you don't have perfect peace about something, you better stay away from it, because if you do it anyway, you're disobeying God, you're disobeying your conscience, you know, you're not sure what is right, and you do it anyway, you displease God. And if we're not positive it's not hurting somebody else, then we're taking a chance that we might be hurting somebody else. And you say, well, boy, that kind of makes life a little narrow. What can I do in life? Well, you know, the thing of it is, we're far better off making sure that we please God than to offend God and offend somebody else and condemn ourselves. And all God's doing is, he's not trying to be mean here. What's he trying to do? He's trying to help us. He's trying to help us, because if we don't follow this verse, what's going to happen is we're going to go out there and do a bunch of questionable things that we just, well, everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it too. Is it right? I don't know, but I'm going to do it because everybody else is doing it. And we're going to get ourselves involved in things that God said, you just condemned yourself because you didn't even know for sure whether that was right or wrong, and you did it anyway. And that may have hurt somebody else. Or you offended me because you didn't even check it out in the Bible to see what was right or wrong. And we condemn ourselves. And God said, listen, I can spare you a lot of trouble and on Judgment Day if you'll follow this principle. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. And if you just keep that in your heart, in your mind, if it's doubtful, it's dirty, it'll keep you from offending me. It'll keep you from being guilty before me. And it'll save us a lot of heartache on Judgment Day. Now, that's good. That's not bad. That's positive. But a lot of times we look at it as negative and say, oh, God won't let me do this. Won't let me do that. No, that's not it at all. God's just saying, listen, that's what's going to happen. That's the facts. You will be condemned if you do it. And I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to be condemned. So the best way to avoid that is to make sure that you check it out first. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. Don't do it. So as I meditated on that this week, it was a real blessing to me, because this verse has always kind of made me kind of shudder and think, well, what's he talking about there? That's a scary sounding verse and I don't understand. But I believe now that I do understand it. And I hope I've made it simple enough for you to understand. And God wants us to apply it to our lives. Now let me just make four practical applications to get your thinking going. A lot of times we can hear things, but if we don't have an application to think about, it doesn't really sink in. If you listen to music that you're not sure pleases God, you've chosen to sin. If you wear something that you're not sure pleases God and is modest in the sight of God, you're sinning. Because you chose to do it, even though in your heart you say, well, I don't know and I don't care. Or sometimes we may not say it that badly, but we might say, well, I don't know, but, you know. But God says, if we do it anyway, we've sinned, or we're sinning. If you look at something on a video or on the website that you're not sure is wholesome, you're sinning against God. If you're not sure, it's dirty. Don't watch it. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. And if you read a novel that you're not positive God would read, there's all kinds of novels, especially women read. And ladies, don't read that garbage. You're reading these novels about these love scenes and these guys running off with her and all that. You read that kind of garbage. What are you putting in your mind? Would God read that? Absolutely not. You're filling your mind with filth. And if you read that kind of stuff, you're sinning against God. And so, if in doubt, if you're doubtful, I don't know whether Jesus would read this or not, then don't read it. Because if it's wholesome, you got nothing to hide, and God wouldn't be ashamed of it. But if you're in doubt, don't. And so these just four little ways that you can think and get your thinking going. But it covers every area of life. And the Christian life is a life where we are to be an example to others. We're to be honoring to the Lord. We're to bring glory to the Lord. He said, in all that we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. So all of our life is to be focused on honoring Christ, who paid the debt for our sin. And that brings us to a thought that needs to be mentioned, because I can't assume that all of you know Christ as your Savior. And Christ died for our sins. That's what Christmas is all about. He came to pay the debt of our sin. Christ came to this earth to die for us, to give us an opportunity to trust Him as our Savior. And if you have never trusted Christ your Savior, you're not one of His children. You know, becoming a Christian is not just being religious or going to church or reading your Bible or saying your prayers. It is coming to the place where you say, I realize that I am a sinner headed the wrong direction, and Jesus Christ came and died for me and paid the debt of my sin, and I must cry out to Him and ask Him, Lord, please forgive me and wash me clean and give me eternal life. If you've never done that, that's what you need to do. There's no other way of salvation. It's faith in Jesus Christ alone, nothing else. And we must make sure we know Christ. But once we know Christ, then we have an obligation to please Him in all that we do. And so this morning, I challenge you. Look at your heart. Look at your life. Evaluate your reading. Evaluate the things you watch. Evaluate the things you listen to. And ask yourself, can I say without any hesitation that it pleases God? If we can't, then we need to make some changes. And we need to ask God forgiveness. And ask God to give us a new heart and a new desire and to walk in the way that would honor Him.